Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Lord Jesus, in this restless Advent season, we pray that we would see clearly your light that shines in the darkness in the face of Jesus Christ, the only light of the world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We'll be looking at our reading from John, continuing our sermon series on John chapter 1. I'd like to start out with the story of meeting Corey. I think I'm saying that right. Nathan was 13 years old, 5'2", and weighed 100 pounds, soaking wet. Those people that didn't have a lot of physical strength. He also had a rough family life. His mom had lost her job when she was a hotel maid, and she was looking for work, and so she moved her family from Minneapolis to Philadelphia. And in 2000, the family had escaped war in Liberia, West Africa. So this guy, Nathan, was a new kid in Philly with a family where his mom was a single mom, unemployed, just looking for a job. And as you can imagine, this was kind of the kid that bullies would spot a mile away. And they did. And there was seven of them in particular that would pick on Nathan. One time, for 30 minutes, they beat up Nathan, all seven of them. And as they were hurting him, they rubbed his face in the dirt. Nathan survived, but probably would have continued again, except one of the mistakes one of these bullies did is they recorded everything and put it on YouTube. And as you can imagine, the cops found out about it, and they ended up arresting old seven of them, and they ended up going to prison. What happened in that, too, is that the show called The View, if anybody's watched that show, these people, the hosts on that show, heard about the story and invited Nathan onto the show, and unknown to him, there was also three members of the Philadelphia Eagles football team that agreed to come. And so as they were talking to Nathan, eventually they brought out one of the Eagles football players, Sean Jackson, who's all pro wide receiver. I think he now plays in the Bucks, but he came out there onto the stage and greeted Nathan in front of everybody. Said, I just want you to know that I'm on your side. If you ever need anything, you just give me a call. And he gave Nathan his cell phone number right there, right on live TV. As you can imagine, Nathan didn't have any other problems with bullies after that. So you got an all-pro wide receiver that you can just call up when you need somebody to come and help. Say that he had his number on speed dial. This bullying thing, I know that's something I dealt with when I was younger. Something we all know, even if we didn't have it when we were younger. We know what bullies are like. You can be bullied by your sin, bullied by your shame, bullied by guilt, blame. But we all know the biggest bully goes by the name of the devil. He's a liar, father of lies. John 8:44 is what he says he is. Jesus even calls him a murderer. What Satan does is he attacks us, and when he's done, he rubs our face in the dirt and our sins. He wants to destroy us, right? There's no nice thing about him. Out to devour us, to take us away, to steal us eternally. And when we face him, however it may be, it'd be our own sins or shame or guilt, or even in the form of other people that are controlled by him, we want to run. And we run just like a young kid runs from a bully. And we think that's the only option. But that's why God sent a man named John the Baptist. It says John's mission was to be a witness concerning that light, so that through him, that's Christ, the light, all people might believe. Second sentence of our reading. John's mission was to be a witness concerning that light, the light of Jesus. Witness is connected with John the Baptist 14 times. John. One of those times, probably the best time, in chapter 1, verse 29, it says, John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who is taking away the sin of the world," when he sees Jesus Christ coming towards him. So John's witness is that so through him, Jesus all might believe. This is the great goal of John's gospel, right, in 2031. It says, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." So while we're on the run, Satan's chasing us with his lies and half-truths. God gives us a messenger, a witness, to believe in the light, to look away from the darkness, to look at something more powerful. That leads us to John's message. John said very clearly that he himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John testified concerning him. John wasn't the message, he was just the messenger. John wasn't the light, he was just the bearer, the one pointing to the light. He would say things like, "I'm not the Christ, I'm not Elijah, I'm not the prophet, I'm not worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. One who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." In chapter 3, "He must increase, I must decrease." For as humble as a man as John was, and loving as he was, and as truthful as he wasn't the light. It was only the light of Jesus that shined through him. But yet, when we're focused on the devil and focused on darkness, we end up trying to fix it and save ourselves by going to the wrong places, places that we probably have been before, such as our addictions, our guilt, or pity parties, favorite sins, whatever it would be. Maybe laziness, or gluttony, or drunkenness, or pornography, or gossip, blame, or insults, swearing, anger, violence, arrogance. It goes on and on and on. We try to go to it because we're scared. Darkness. We're scared of what the devil says to us. We're scared about who we might be. So we try to fix it. We go to the darkness to try to solve the darkness inside of us. Then we can also go to the lights in the world. We can go to other people. You might have a good job, you might have good accomplishments, you might have a good amount of money, you might have a good vacation coming up, you might have good stuff that's stored up. Good lights, might even be grand lights in your life, right? But these are not the light. There's only one light, name is Jesus. John says the Word became flesh. This is the one who comes up to our defense and fights the bully that none of us could defeat. Jesus says in chapter 8, "Now the prince of this world, the devil, is cast out." You can say one and done. He's cast out when Jesus is lifted up on the cross for our sins. Jesus goes into battle for us. Like that football player went to battle for Needham. He didn't wait around for us to call him, but he came willingly for us. He goes into battle for our physical needs, our daily bread, marital problems, our family problems, relationship problems. More importantly, he fights for our resurrection. He goes into battle for our salvation and our restoration. When it feels a lot that the odds are against us, maybe a coach or a boss, or health, or friends, and it gets difficult. There's no doubt about that. But Jesus fights for us. Fights for you. Fights for you with the broken past, you with the addiction, you with the aging body, with the absentee dad. When we lose a job, we have a bad break, bad string of finances, bad grade. Jesus fights for the yous. Jesus fights Satan for you and defeats him on a God-forsaken cross. He confirms that when he rises from the dead for us, so that we can all know what the true light is. You could say he even gives us his number on speed dial. It's called prayer. It's called the Bible. 1-800-BIBLE. He says, call me anytime. Be there at a moment's notice. And that's John's message, to point to the true light that's come into the world. That's what God is doing still through us, in the midst of wherever we are. When we lose faith because of where we are or what's happening around us, and just remember John the Baptist was probably thought of as a lunatic. A guy who dressed like camel's hair and ate grasshoppers. But yet God used him in powerful ways. Why? Because he wanted to point people to Jesus. Just that simple. And God's faithful to do that in every one of us. No matter who we are, where we came from, or where we're going. So John's mandate, you could say, is that he keeps pointing them to Christ. He witnesses and cries out, it says. He has surpassed me because he was before me. Jesus is greater than me. John 4 says Jesus is greater than Jacob. John 5 says Jesus is greater than Moses. John 8 says Jesus is greater than Abraham. John 5:39 says Jesus is greater than the entire Old Testament. That's why John cries out, witnesses. There's no power, authority, or anything stronger or more loving than Jesus. That's what we cry out today. That's why it's still relevant today. I remember when I first got my dog, Hesed, in the summer night, she decided to run away. Wasn't very loyal at first, right? Saw an open door and took off. Had to go trying to catch her. Kept running away when I would catch up to her. Eventually she decided to stop. And I had a chance to walk up to her at that moment. I Our eyes met and looked at her, and it was decision time, right? Was she going to stay? Was she going to run? Surprisingly, she remained still. I was able to get her, put her on a leash, and bring her home. She decided, for whatever reason, she had enough running. It's time to go home. You know, we all run. We keep on running. A lot of us are running despite all the appearance that we have, or our status, or our wealth. We're still running because the devil is pursuing us. He's chasing us with his accusations, with his lies. Yeah, one of the messages of John the Baptist is that we don't have to keep running. We don't have to give in. We don't have to give in to the shame and the guilt and the old habits. You don't have to give in to all the lies that you believed. You don't have to run away from the darkness in your life. Because there's a light that's overcome it. The light that's come into your life. Stronger than all of it, that's forgiven all of it. He's on your side, fighting for you. So there is a choice when the darkness comes. Instead of choosing to keep running, we can stop. Instead of looking at our darkness, we look at the Savior's eyes, his loving, tender eyes. Fall into his arms and let us be taken home to where his light shines on us and his word and his presence. It's the one who fought and defeated the devil. It's the one who still fights for us. Even tonight, I have you come to him and trust in him. To know that he is the only true light in the world. He is the only true light that we bear witness to. In his name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus, our Savior.